Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Here's the guy, John Rothstein. He knows everything.
Man, the myth, the legend.
About everything. And by the way, John, I love you. Today, Sean Marks didn't do me any favors because I can't even ask you about the guys my team drafted because they both were playing in Europe last year.
Yep.
But you can help us out with everything else. John, how are you, sir?
What's up, John?
Hello, John.
John, are you there?
Hey, Dove, want to pay attention to the show? Is John there? Cool.
And now he is.
Thank you. Thank you, Dove. Thank you. We're doing a little show over here.
Dove was, he was a little distracted.
He was a little distracted.
Yes.
It's okay.
Hi, John. How are you?
Hi, John.
Guys, great to be with you, as always.
John. All right, tell me Kevin Knox is going to be, a great, an NBA Hall of Famer. Can you tell me that?
I can't tell you that, Joe. I can't tell you that. Kevin Knox fits the combo forward mold that the NBA is trending. You know, I had a conversation with Fred Hoiberg, the Bulls coach, a couple of weeks ago about this. And with the way the league is shifting to so much focus being on shooting and spacing, right now the vintage brute power forward that a lot of us grew up watching is no longer as regular a commodity as the skilled guy who can play the three and the four. Kevin Knox fits that bill. Obviously, a safer pick than taking Michael Porter Jr., but it's not to say that this guy doesn't have some upside and can develop an NBA player.
Last year, and I think it's safe to say that last year, the best player, and will be the best player from last year's draft class, was and will be Jason Tatum. Jason Tatum in the NBA, to me, played better than he did in college. Can you see that same thing happening with Kevin Knox?
I saw more from Jason Tatum at Duke than I saw from Kevin Knox at Kentucky. Now, to be fair, the supporting cast that Jason Tatum had at Duke was better, I think, than the supporting cast than Kevin Knox had at Kentucky. I mean, look at who was on that Duke team last year. You had, obviously, Grayson Allen. You had Frank Jackson. You had Luke Kennard. You had Harry Giles, who was obviously broken down. You had Emile Jefferson. But another thing about Kevin Knox, this is a very young kid. This is a guy who's still coming into his own. So I think it was a great debate for the Knicks. They could have taken a guy like Knox or Mikal Bridges, and Mikal Bridges probably being a little bit more of a known commodity in terms of you knew what you were getting at the small forward position. Knox has, obviously, I think, a higher ceiling long-term, and they opted to go that route than, obviously, swing to the grand slam with Michael Porter Jr.
All right, tell me about this kid they took in the second round, Robinson. What do you know about him?
You know, Joe, if Mitchell Robinson played college basketball last year, I have no doubt that he would have led the nation in shot blocking. This guy is an elite shot blocker, you know, has so much raw ability. It made him one of the more intriguing players that we thought we were going to see last season in college basketball. But there are serious questions about Mitchell Robinson's work ethic, about his commitment to basketball. I know from talking to several people in his camp, there's a question of how much direction he has, mostly because of the people that were in his camp coming up through the circuit. But Mitchell Robinson first needs to learn how to be a professional and worry about being an effective basketball player in the NBA.
Did Michael Porter Jr. and his agent screw himself a little bit? Because the whole mystery with the medical records, how for a while the Bulls were the only team that had it. And then here we are at the draft, and he's sinking like the Titanic to the point where I'm thinking at 29, hey, maybe my team could trade up for this guy. But did they play a role in him dropping as far as he dropped?
This is what I'm going to say, Evan, and this is something that, you know, I think people during the college basketball season may not want to admit, but it's probably the truth. Michael Porter Jr. never should have came back. He never should have went through a couple of games where he was ultra productive. Hamidou Diallo, a year ago, should have never opted to go to Kentucky for a season of basketball or even participate in the combine last year. Because when you're a mystery sometimes, they can't pick apart your flaws. If Hamidou Diallo never played college basketball and just stayed in the draft last year, he probably would have gotten picked in the 20s. Last night he goes in the 40s. If Michael Porter Jr. never plays, okay, in the SEC tournament, in the NCAA tournament, people have actual game footage to pick him apart, I bet you he goes in the top 10.
By the way, Diallo was drafted by the Nets, but he's going to be traded in the Dwight Howard trade. So he's not a Net. That's why I'm not asking you to break him down, because quite frankly, I don't really care about the Charlotte Hornets. None of us do. But, but what did you think about the Bridges situation? Now, when the Sixers drafted Mikal Bridges, based on where the Sixers are, and you know this, the Sixers are a hell of a team. They are taking that step. I said, wow, this is a hell of a pick. He's going to help them right away. This is perfect for what they're doing. And then about 20 minutes later, to the chagrin of probably his mom, the Sixers are now dealing him in this deal where they get Zaire Smith back. They get another pick down the road. What did you think about the Sixers not holding on to Mikal Bridges?
Well, I thought it was a great move by Phoenix and obviously a questionable move by Philadelphia. Now, I think, too, when you look at what you need, when you have guys like Ben Simmons, and I saw this covering him at LSU, you need guys who can make shots around them to space the floor. Mikal Bridges made 104 three-point shots last year, so I think it's a great move for Phoenix. And obviously, for Philadelphia, you know, having somebody like Zaire Smith getting another pick, you never obviously wonder from an NBA perspective if they're building towards something bigger down the next couple of weeks in free agency.
You know, it looks like Phoenix really hit a home run. I mean, they get the number one pick, they take DeAndre Ayton, and then they wind up with Bridges. I mean, that's a pretty good double dip on draft night for the Suns, right?
Two guys, Joe, who I think could be longtime NBA starters. So, yeah, I think, you know, you look right now at what Phoenix is doing. You've added in the last couple of seasons Josh Jackson, Mikal Bridges, and DeAndre Ayton. That's three of the best players in terms of non-perimeter players in college basketball the past 2 years.
When, and we're talking to John Rothstein, the Magic end up selecting Mo Bamba. And that was cool for New York because it was the highest draft in New Yorker in what feels like a million years. But can Bamba be a guy, because the Magic are a mess. They're very far away from winning, and I think they need guys to build around. Is Bamba the kind of guy the Magic can actually build around?
I don't see it. I think the time of the Dikembe Mutombo center is obviously over and done with. And, you know, we've spent the last couple of weeks talking about this, guys. If you can't extend the defense while you're on the floor in the NBA right now, you have a hard time staying on the floor. Now, is Mo Bamba an elite rim protector? Absolutely. Does he have a 7'10 wingspan? Absolutely. But I'm always a little bit of tepid when I see guys who come in, and this included, you know, Markelle Fultz and to a lesser degree Ben Simmons, guys who come in from losing situations in college. His team at Texas was only 8-10. He was recruited by Kentucky and opted to go to Texas instead of Kentucky. Did he not want the competition at Kentucky? These are all things that go through your head. That's why I think when we see so much focus on shooting, I love what the Hawks did, taking not just Trae Young, not just Kevin Huerter, but Omari Spellman. You can obviously see right now that they are focused on shooting and adding guys that can extend the defense. So I thought Atlanta did a tremendous job in terms of getting guys who are going to be aligned with what today's NBA represents.
John, what are you hanging out on 7th Avenue? What are you doing there? It sounds like you're on the street.
I'm on the street in the corner right now, right in the inside of an office building.
Oh, okay.
Let me ask you this, because I was mentioning this earlier. I can't stand Danny Ainge.
Joe's got more reasons
than I do.
Danny Ainge.
And one of the things I can't stand is Danny Ainge could have drafted you last night, and everybody, oh, what a steal. He knows what he's doing. Now, with that said, maybe this Robert Williams is a steal. I don't know. That's why I'm asking you.
Yeah, what do you think of him?
I hope you say no, because I'm so sick of the love for this guy.
Could be the steal of the first round.
Oh, you son of
I knew he was going there.
It could be the steal of the first round. And guys, you know, one thing you have to look at, too, and again, this is just from, you know, obviously, like, you guys covering sports for a long time. If you can't get, obviously, in a draft, a guy who, for all intents and purposes, is going to be the best player, you would rather stockpile assets. Robert Williams, if he doesn't play for Boston, could be an asset in a trade. He's somebody, again, who played 30 games last year for Texas A&M, shot 60% from the field or better in 18 of them. An elite finisher at the rim will be much better as a 5 in the NBA than he was as a 4 in college.
Mm. Talking to John Rothstein, how about my guy Wagner, how you say, Mo Wagner, who went to the Lakers from Michigan. How about him?
You know, I think somebody who can be a good backup center in the NBA, Joe, a little bit like Brad Miller. If you remember Brad Miller with the Kings and the Indiana Pacers, you know, a face-up guy, good passer, good shooter. So I think, you know, again, another guy who at the 5 position can extend the defense and face the basket. And that's really what we're seeing right now. And that's why I think when you look at the latter part of the first round, the two picks that stand out that kind of give you the now modern NBA big man is Mo Wagner to the Lakers and Omari Spellman to the Hawks.
John, it's been a very long time since my crappy team rewarded me with a lottery pick because of that horrible Celtic deal. Well, I have news for you because it's very important. The deal is over. Okay, it's done. I get to move on, which means next
all
year.
All things must pass.
All things have finally passed. It was like the worst stomach ache I've ever had. It would never end. It was like passing a kidney stone. Mm. Next
Evan,
year.
Evan, what was your reaction when that trade went down?
No, he was happy with
it. I liked it, but I was a little when here's what bothered me. I liked it at the time. I admit it. I thought they needed the toughness of Kevin Garnett, and it worked. They won a round.
You got the Sports Illustrated cover, don't you?
Yeah, I do. I want to burn it. What I didn't like is how Billy King kept throwing in right to swaps and this and that.
My God.
But I admit I was wrong about it. I don't care. All right, Billy King was the GM. I wasn't. But here's the point. I'm in the lottery next year. There's a good chance the Nets don't make the playoffs. Joe's definitely going to be in the lottery.
No question.
If my team wins the lottery, because we deserve it after that mess, right now, as you sit here today, a year in advance, who is my franchise guy I'm selecting with the number one overall pick, John?
RJ Barrett, the freshman from Duke. Combo forward, lefty, super, super skill. Definitely RJ Barrett.
Wow.
Okay.
There's
I'm writing
the
this
guy.
Down. That's my guy. I'm going to get the jersey.
Yeah.
Not quite
He's
yet. I may have to wait a little bit. John. Yeah.
John. Oh, my God. John, before I let you go, give me a guy that you think is kind of like a sleeper in this draft. The kid from Boston? You know, the kid Boston took? Is that what you're going to tell me?
Yeah, the kid from Boston College. I love Jerome Robinson, who we talked about. I went to the Clippers. I thought the Clippers did exceptionally well in this draft, getting Shai Gilgeous-Alexander and Jerome Robinson. So, for sure, I'm a fan of what the Clippers did.
All right.
John, good stuff. We appreciate it.
John, always a pleasure. Sure. We'll see you at the NCAA tournament next year.
You got it, guys. Talk to you soon.
See you.
Thank you. John Rothstein on what the Knicks did and everybody else did.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.